This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are on Joy 94.9, Saturday Magazine. Who's our next guest?
Our next guest, of course, is the Federal Member for Wills, Peter Khalil. Good morning to you, Peter.
Morning, Macca and Tess. How are you both?
Great to have you back on the airwaves, especially as we approach our penultimate show for the year.
It is, and you know, on the 1st of January, Peter, we do a reprise of the top podcasts downloaded.
Yes.
For the year, and
both of you are in all of them, apparently.
Well, you could well be, but ironically, the date September 11, 2021.
Oh,
Peter Khalil, member for Wills, talks about what he's hearing on the street about vaccinations and issues in his electorate, etc., etc. That was one of our top 10 podcasts for 2021.
Wow. There you go.
I'm honoured.
That should help you to straddle the tofu fence.
Yes. That's great. I think it has more to do with both of you, people listening in, enjoying your podcast.
Very kind of you, Peter. Very kind of you. Now, back to you again. Now, we've just had a great conversation with Michelle Grattan, who we actually recorded yesterday because that's when she was available. But the first question we put to Michelle Grattan was, for her to present to us her report card on Scott Morrison and his government's performance in 2021. What's your report card? What's your assessment?
Well, mine would be coloured by my political, partisan position as an opposition member. But, I'll try and be objective. But and in summary, I think a tired, old, corrupt government led by Scott Morrison, who's a trickster, a shyster, a huckster, marketing spin guy who people are now starting to see through, who has failed on multiple occasions to provide national leadership, whether it's on the slow vaccine rollout, quarantine, working through the national cabinet with the states and territories throughout this period, on foreign policy, on social policy. So I think people are seeing right through this bloke, and I'd give him an F.
Ooh. An F?
F plus.
What about disruptive in class?
That's more me, by the way.
Oh,
I'm a bit disruptive in Parliament.
Well, it turns out that one of your school friends, apparently you went to a Salesian college, one of your school friends, Kieran McGregor, is listening in this morning, and Kieran says that you're a great tennis player.
I was in a previous life.
Well, you better send Kieran a message, a cheerio at least.
Oh, and
hello, Kieran. Great to hear from him. And Kieran's a twin. He's got a brother named Fergus.
Oh.
Kieran and Fergus. I wonder what nationality they are.
Now, there's another question here. Did you hear yesterday reports of Adam Bandt's tweet?
No, I haven't seen that.
He congratulated all the students, for their hard work and their exams and their ATAR figures and whatever they do in the next 12 months, whether it be this or that, or get on the weed for 12 months.
I did a congratulation message for Year 12 students. I just told them to have a good time over summer.
Because I thought he wanted them to vote green, not just smoke it.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, on that subject about voting green, the tofu fence, Peter. So, Wills, is a substantial Greens vote there.
Yes, they come second.
Yeah, how's it looking? Your margin's about 8%, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. we have actually respectful debates during the election campaigns. I get along with, you know, in the past two candidates. It's all been civil and respectful. It's a contest of ideas. Some things we agree about, some things we disagree. And then ultimately I make the point that, you know, with minors and independents, people may agree with some of the things they're pushing out, but the fundamental point is the ability to actually execute and implement policies from executive government. And that's, you know, the Labor Party, for all its imperfections, can actually form government and deliver on a lot of our party platform, our policy platform, and that's a significant difference. If people want real action on climate change, you know, bloody hell, hope we toss out Morrison and get a Labor government so we can actually put these policies in place. And I think that's important to people.
Sounds to me like you're almost channeling Tim Wilson there.
Who's Tim Wilson? No, I'm joking. I know who Tim Wilson is. And that's an insult, Macca. Much better looking than Tim.
Okay. Well, it depends from which perspective.
On radio.
Yes. Because, look, the matter of the independents is going to be interesting. I don't know that many of them will get up. I think they're going to have an impact on particular electorates, though. And, of course, your seat was held by an independent at one point, wasn't it? Phil Cleary.
Yes, Phil Cleary. For a
Did he hold it for time. Two terms?
No, just I think it was one term.
Just yeah. one, okay.
Between Bob Hawke and Kelvin Thompson.
Right. Right. So, history. You know...
So what are your reflections on the independents?
Well, look, I think there's... put it in the context of a dissatisfaction amongst the electorate around politics generally, political parties. There's a deficit of trust in our democratic system and our political system. People are frustrated. They're angry. They're weary. They're tired, obviously, with the pandemic. But even that was sort of bubbling away even before that. And, you know, I actually really believe that, you know, part of it is, you know, the political class not being good enough to really demonstrate their conviction and authenticity about why they're doing or why we're doing what we're doing. But there's also the fact that the media, not your media, of course, but there's been a fracturing of the media, and there hasn't been... It's very, very rare to have this kind of conversation in the media, frankly, with your sort of program, for example, because a lot of the media is fractured into social media platforms, algorithms that trade on hate and fear and anger, a kind of displacement of objectivity to the extent that people are not engaging with each other in a rational way. They have different realities now, and the media kind of exacerbates that to a certain extent. And you get these sectional interests and sectional views and conspiracy theorists that are becoming more and more prominent. So, you know, you can make all sorts of criticisms about the mainstream media, but it also exists in the social media world as well, and there's a lot of disruption in that space. And it's very, very hard to engage with your community on a honest and straightforward basis. People run robotic lines if they're politicians rather than actually talk to people about what matters to them. I think, you know, and it's hard. There's almost 200,000 people in my electorate. I reckon I've met over 10,000 personally through our engagement and our support for constituents on matters that where they come to us. And I've sort of reached some of them on social media, but you know, the one-on-one conversations I have them out the front of the Coles or the Woolies, you're doing that's in the hundreds. And so you can never get to talk directly to every single person. So it's a huge challenge. And the independents are basically manipulating some of that anger and frustration and promising certain things that they can never deliver.
Do you think they'll have an impact at the end of the day?
Well, of course, Clive Palmer, if you call that an independent, a party, the UAP, in the last election, he spent over $80 million.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to have an impact. And people, for whatever reason, are swallowing up some of their positions because they're angry and they'll vote for independents. I hope they don't. I hope they have a real look at policies that will actually have an impact on their lives and their representatives. I mean, people make a decision based on their local MP. Oh, she's good or he's good, and they serve the community. Oh, their party's good on some of these national policies. I'll go with them. But some people are, well, you know, Australians, with compulsory voting, it's good and bad because at one level, it's a lot of kind of apathy and, you know, people just don't take notice until the election comes around and say, oh, yeah, let's have a look at these last week, and they make their decision then. So there's a degree of apathy and indifference, and so this is all mixed up together. And the independents, you know, they make hay in that kind of space.
Yeah.
And yes, you are listening to Saturday Magazine today, all the way from sunny St Kilda at the Victorian Pride Centre. And our guest this morning is the member for Wills, the federal member for Wills, representing the Labor Party, Peter Khalil.
Peter Khalil. Peter, let's first talk about what impact do you think COVID and the vaccination booster strollout.
Strollout.
And, you know, people's concern, you know, about, you know, how this is all going to play out. What impact do you think that's going to have in the federal election, whenever it is?
That's a good question. It relates to an earlier part of our conversation. People, I think, while Australians in general have been apathetic or indifferent or big chunks have been indifferent to politics, I think there's a realisation that politics and government has played such a significant part in people's lives, for good and bad, over the past 18 months. There's a realisation of the importance of the federal election and choosing who you want to rule the country and run the country. And so I think people are paying more attention. I said that there was an indifference, but I think people are paying attention. It's part of every part of their lives now, whether it's state or federal government, with respect to COVID and the pandemic and the health rules and restrictions and so on. So I think it will have a huge impact on the vote. People will be making their decisions based on how they've seen the federal government run the show, poorly or otherwise, or well, whatever their opinion is, and how they've been impacted. And they'll be casting an eye on us as an alternative government to say, well, is this mob going to be any better? What are they putting forward? What are they offering as far as our post-pandemic economic recovery, keeping us safe and health, the health issues and all of that? Would Labor be better?
So what other issues will be fought in this election? I mean, clearly the pandemic and pandemic performance and the economy are going to be two front and centre issues.
I think climate change and action on climate change is something that people care about. It's an existential issue. It didn't, just because we had a pandemic over 18 months, it still hasn't changed that fact. And people want to see real action, actually something substantive. And the government, the Morrison government, has obviously dragged its heels, in some places gone backwards and in reverse with respect to the transition to renewable energy. So people will be looking at Labor's policies on that, which were recently announced. I think they'll be looking at a couple other big issues that might be smokies in this election, and that is around immigration, you know, because this relates to our economic situation and our economic recovery. Immigration, the issues around temporary work visas. There's a real shortage of workers at the moment in Australia, as you guys would be aware. A lot of small businesses, restaurants, hospitality, struggling to find people to work. So immigration comes into the fore. And I also think some social policy issues and also education. I mean, look, if we're talking about, and it's tied to immigration, how are we going to train people? What kind of options are we going to give people as far as vocational training, education, for their future? And we announced something recently on TAFE, about 465,000 TAFE places and funding 20,000 extra university places, because there's a real need for that as well. And so I think some of those issues will come into the election campaign.
Peter, early this morning, Macca was briefing me on this issue around the AdBlue.
AdBlue, and Peter, I don't know if you're across it. AdBlue, for our listeners, it's an additive that diesel trucks and cars use to reduce emissions, and it reduces it significantly. And I've been across this issue for a number of months, and people are probably looking a bit, oh, yeah. The reality is the government has known about this since August, right? That supplies are running low. And people go, oh, yeah, well, supplies run low. Well, you don't put any in. Reality is the technology in those engines, if there isn't AdBlue, the engine doesn't run. So the government and I've been involved in this issue behind the scenes, and I can tell you, they've done nothing. They've done nothing, basically. What this is going to mean is that potentially, with all the supply chain crises that we're dealing with, you could have not a few, you could have tens of thousands of trucks not being able to run and deliver freight. And
yep.
the government's planning one of their, it's called, you know, one of the drop dead solution is to actually switch off the engine technology that would stop a truck running without AdBlue. And what that means is the truck would pollute, but would also actually damage the engine. So the solution is, because they haven't been able, they haven't been on top of this for long enough to...
Is there a worldwide shortage of this product, Macca?
There is, and it's as a result, again, it's China is using...
And Russia.
And Russia. But basically, the plan is, well, actually, we're not going to do anything. It's like vaccines. We won't order any, right? We'll wait until... We can then try and get some, and we'll get some from Indonesia, and we'll get some from here. But the solution is we'll actually turn off the pollution controls in the trucks.
No, you're describing the Morrison government to a T.
This is
the head-in-the-sand denialism and do-nothing approach.
Now,
that kind of – it's not symbolic. It's representative of the way Morrison operates. Run away when there's bushfires, hope no one notices, do some spin on the back of it. Not do the hard yards.
And
I'm outraged and angry, not just on this issue, but you talk about supply chains, the way that he's conducted our foreign policy in such a volatile period has impact.
And this is going to impact not just on freight vehicles, on farm vehicles, on harvesters, big harvesters, right? So, you know, Barnaby Joyce, you know, he said he's across the issue. Okay, that makes me worried. Angus Taylor said, look, you know, we've got a little bit more. But it's the fact that this has gone on now for 3.5 months and they've done nothing. Okay, they rang the Minister for Energy in Indonesia and someone in Abu Dhabi, right? That's about it. So to me, not only is it going to be a disaster in the supply chain, it's going to be another little... weight on the scales to stop us meeting our emission targets. And who's going to pay for the damage to the truck engines? So it really disturbs me because I've been across this issue behind the scenes, and it's
when you say that they've been aware of this for a long time.
A long time.
China and Russia have been restricting exports.
Yeah,
yeah,
but you know,
no contingency planning, no backups. No thinking through what needs to be done.
And it's
characteristic of this government.
Yeah. So, anyway, when do you think the election is going to be, Peter? When do you think the government, Prime Minister will call?
I don't know. I can't look into the mind of Scott Morrison, nor would I want to at some level. But it's up to him. And it's more probable than not he'll go in May. He may call an early election in March to avoid going back to Parliament. We're due to go back into Parliament in early February, and there's a number of... Well, you saw their performance of the last sitting week was a complete disaster. Things are collapsing all around him, ministers resigning, MPs crossing the floor. It was a schmozzle. I'm not sure how many... This is the other thing, how many people noticed all of this. When I got back from Canberra in late November, I said to my neighbour, and I live in Pascoe, I said, oh, what do you reckon? You know, Morrison's sort of unwinding and unravelling. I said, oh, really? I didn't notice. So, I mean... I'm not sure how much it damages them, but you know, they probably want to avoid going back to Parliament, so you've got to make a choice.
Mm.
Do you think people have just switched off? You know, had enough? You know,
probably.
A bunch of bozos in Canberra, they're all the same. I keep on hearing that language all the time. They're all the same. They all do the same stuff.
Yes, I hear that all the time as well. We're all the same. It's not true. Like, objectively, it's not true. But that's unfortunately the line that the independents get the most advantage out of. Oh, they're all the same. We're different. We're something different.
So Labor then has an image problem as well. And so what's Labor going to do about that? I mean, you know, we've heard about the pork barrelling issue, and we've heard Albanese's sort of response to the pork barrelling issue.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to do that. Yeah, we're going to... You're going to ban...
The average punter on the road's going to say, well, you know, you're all the same. They're all the same.
No, I want a new footpath. I want a bit of pork in my barrel.
Yeah. To be fair to Anthony, when he was Minister for Local, Regional, and Local Government and Regional Development, he had a much more objective grants process. It was actually fair. You know, Labor held 53% of the seats at the time. Labor seats got 53% of the funding. This is where people say, oh, we're all the same. Actually, no, we're not. This is outrageous, the pork barrelling that the Morrison government is doing. We're talking about billions, $1.9 billion to Liberal-held seats compared to something like $200 or $300 million to Labor seats. You just look at all the kind of comparators. It's just outrageous. And Albo did say very clearly, you know, how do you do it differently? Well, we wouldn't be sitting around in a minister's office with colour-coded spreadsheets about marginal seats and where we can pork barrel money. I mean, the guy that's got the piggy nose so far down the track, you know who wins the prize? Like, and this is outrageous, the number. Grants worth $101 million in one electorate go to David Littleproud. Congratulations, David, for the biggest pork barrelling effort. I mean, that's just
Except I heard the PM say the other day that he's a very good local member of parliament.
Good
he's advocated
member.
For his electorate, and he's got them lots of
He came into my office with a highlighter.
Well, that's what's happened. They colour-code their spreadsheet. So to be fair to Albo, we are not the same, and he had a system in place that engaged with local government, local council. There was departmental advice. It was there was objective criteria on a needs basis. And I know we're still getting punished. We sort of did the right thing all those years ago when we were in government by actually administering a system that was fair. And then people just lump us together with these guys. It's not true, and it's not fair. And we will do it. We'll do it differently if we win.
We're out of time, Peter, and I wish you well. I want to close with a comment my father used to make about Parliament. He said, Parliament is the only circus where you see the clown but never the ringleader.
Peter, we have a question for you from a listener. Oh. What would you like as a Christmas gift?
He wants a bigger margin in his seat.
Yes, and sunglasses.
Sunglasses. There you go. Peter, thank you for your time this morning. It's always great chatting with you. It's been a little bit informal and a little bit chaotic this morning. Organic, let's say, rather than chaotic.
It's been organic. It's been tofu.
But it is the end of the year.
It's been a great pleasure being on your program through the course of this year. It's actually a wonderful program. It's an opportunity to have a really honest conversation about politics, policy, the world, life. And you guys are great, and I wish you all a very wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, and the same to you, Peter. All the best to you and your family and those people who are important to you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.